Hello, this is Dave Spiker with a reminder that this coming Thursday, December 31st, is the deadline for sending your special year-end donation to support the Ministry of Insight for Living. Be sure to contact us today. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. The older we become, the less we seem to remember. At times, it's frustrating when our brain doesn't immediately recall information that we're desperately trying to retrieve, like first names, phone numbers, and even where we left our keys. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that while forgetfulness can be frustrating, sometimes it's a virtue. For instance, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, "Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on." Chuck titled today's message, "Here's Something Worth Forgetting." And we begin with prayer.
Father, make these things possible if the apostle, with all the things on his plate, was able to focus on this one thing, certainly we're able to do the same. So enable us today to realize that those things on which we relied for recognition, for applause, for significance, really, if done in the flesh, were worthless, gaining no eternal rewards. But the things worth reaching for are those things worth our time and effort. May this new year be marked by that. Give us the ability to walk away from those old habits as we take on the joys, the challenges, and the demands required for a whole new way of life. We count on your Spirit to give us the kind of energy we need for that. We trust you to provide that for us. Use our gifts now as we give them for your glory and for your purposes. We give them with great joy and generosity. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going online to insightworld.org/studies. Today's message is titled, "Here's Something Worth Forgetting."
Stop the bad habit of longing for things and your own life to be as it has been, and start anticipating and focusing on the way things could be and through Christ should be. This kind of habit breaking has good scriptural support. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. And what a past Paul had. Paul looked back at his wall of significance, and I'm telling you, no one else in his day could have these trophies. That is, all of these, and I count seven of them, beginning in verse 5 of that same third chapter. He started off exactly as a good Jew would begin, circumcised the eighth day of his life. He said, I am pure blood citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest but the significant tribe from which the first king of Israel came, Saul. King Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a real Hebrew if there ever was one, says Paul. I was a Pharisee who demanded the strictest obedience of the law. So zealous was I that I made a career out of persecuting Christians, those who were standing against us, those people of the church. And I loved the applause, and I delighted in the significance of my role. Paul's name was a household name in virtually every Jewish home of his earlier generation. He was a known figure. All of that's true. But will you notice what he writes? Once I thought those things were valuable, verse 7. Those who play professional sports and win all pro honors, at the moment it seems valuable, and they get a jacket, and they get to give a speech, and they're given a bus that appears at the Hall of Fame, and those who distinguish themselves as actors get a statue called, in the slang words, the Oscar, and that Oscar appears in a very significant place in their homes, and attention is drawn to it, and on I could go. These significant things become like idols. We once lived next door to a family that was involved in regattas, and they won one trophy after another with their slick, sleek sailboat that made its way around Houston and Galveston down in the waters of the Gulf. And they won one award after another, and the trophy case was chock full of these trophies. These are trophies to the Apostle Paul. At least they were in his days when that was significant. Now listen to what he says. I thought these things were valuable, but now stop. Where does he stop? Well, you who know your Bibles, you know he stopped on the road to Damascus. Where was he going? On his mission to persecute more Christians, to point them out, to expose them, to arrest them, to bring them to Jerusalem, to put them on trial. And he is stopped in his tracks. And the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him in a brilliant, bright light, brighter than the light of the sun. The Shekinah of God's glory shone down on the apostle and blinded him as he's beside the road. And he cries out, "Who are you, sir?" He had no idea who this was, what this was about. And the answer came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You're working against Messiah." Stunned, shocked, blinded, set aside from all of the activities he had planned, suddenly the trophies of his life began to fade and even tarnish. And the significance of them moved farther and farther away from the nucleus of his reason for living. He puts it best, "Now I consider them not valuable, but look, worthless, worthless. I used to strut around in my own flesh. I used to take pride in my accomplishments, and I loved the attention I got from the general public as the whisperers came on the street, 'Look, look, that's Saul of Tarsus. Look, that's Saul. That's Saul.' I was even a member of the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. I had arrived. But now everything falls in the category of worthless." It's not an exaggeration. He uses the word. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake I have discarded everything, pushed it aside, covered it up. It's in the back closet. It's even in the garage, if you will. He now calls it all, look at the end of verse 8. Look at it. Garbage. Garbage. Amazing, isn't it? How could he say that? Why would he say that? Well, he goes on to tell us, I no longer count on my own righteousness, which was, you see, the past was all about Paul, or Saul, I should call him. It was all about Saul, all about what he did, all about what he accomplished, all about his record, all about his deeds, until Christ came and he found a righteousness in Christ that could never be earned. And what a difference. You talk today to that professional football player, as I have. You talk today to that professional symphonic player, that individual. You talk today to that business person, as they have put Christ first in their lives, and they will tell you, I no longer count on my own accomplishments. In fact, it's hard to get facts out of them because their focus is now on the Savior. He says, I have become righteous through faith in Christ. The doctrinal word for it is justification. Listen to this definition. It's the sovereign act of God whereby he declares righteous the believing sinner while we are still in a sinning state. Paul, though still a sinner, though still every bit of human flesh that he had been, still prone to wander, still prone to walk in his own strength, nevertheless, now he has turned his life to the one who stopped him in his tracks, and as a result, the transfer of righteousness has come to him, not earned by him. And as a result, he says, my determined purpose is that I might, verse 10, know him, that I might come to know him better and better, deeper and deeper. That is my drive in life. And that I might know the mighty power that raised him from the dead and even suffer alongside him as he once suffered. I live for that, says this man, Paul, so that one way or another I will experience resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say I've already achieved or attained perfection. I have not. As a matter of fact, what I am doing now is pressing on. Look at how he puts it in verse 12. I've already received his perfection. I press on to possess that which Christ Jesus has done in me. So, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved, but I focus on this one thing. That is what I challenge you to do on this transitional Sunday. As you move from an old year, turn the page to a new year, you stop. Leave back there the things that no longer have any business taking your time, draining your energy, getting your attention. And I know some of them are tragic. Some of them have been hard to bear. It was not an easy year for any of us. And in those things, if you are not careful, you will bring them right with you into the new year, and you'll live as miserably as you have ended this past year. And the apostle is saying, here's a way to stop that. And the way to keep it going is to use his words, to press on press on to reach the end of the race. It's an athletic term for leaning ahead when you get near the tape. Leaning forward, we've all seen runners do that. They're running with full force, but they get near the tape, and they lean forward with straining every muscle to touch that tape first. That's the idea. I'm pressing on. The apostle offers what I see is five guidelines in the words that follow that are for us as well. Here's the first of five. God's plan is progress, not perfection. Leave all of your perfectionism for last year, for this old year. Perfectionists are people who go to a lot of trouble and give it to others. That's the only way I know to put it. You just work over detail after detail after detail, and then you bring it to us, and it becomes our agenda. Leave that. It's not about perfection. The apostle is not pushing for perfection. The only perfection he has is the kind of perfection he has in the righteousness of Christ. That's a perfect righteousness, and it's come as a gift. He's not earning it. So it's not about perfection, it's about progress. Here's the second. The past is over. Leave it behind. Forgetting the past. It's the way things were, not the way God has them for you in the future. Don't try to relive what was as you press on into the new year. You couldn't if you try. Press on in Christ in this new calling he has for you. The past is over, so leave it. Here's the third. The future offers fresh hope. Look forward to it. That's how he puts it. Press on to reach the end of the race to receive the heavenly prize. Here's the fourth. The secret is a determined attitude. Maintain that. I was reading again from a little book, The Obstacle is the Way, and I came again to the story of Demosthenes. There was little evidence that Demosthenes was destined to become the greatest orator of Athens, let alone all of history. He was born sickly and frail, with a nearly debilitating speech impediment. At 7 years of age, he lost his father, and things then got even worse. The large inheritance that the father had left him, intended to pay for tutors and the best schooling, was stolen by his guardians who had been entrusted to protect him. They refused to pay his tutors. They deprived him of an education that he was entitled to. Still weak and sickly, Demosthenes was also unable to distinguish himself with other Greeks in their lifestyle in the gymnasium. Here was this fatherless, effeminate, awkward little child no one understood and everyone laughed at. Not exactly the boy you'd expect would soon hold the power to mobilize his nation. Disadvantaged by nature, abandoned by people that he had depended on, nearly everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And finally, he built himself a cave where he would live, and there he recreated a new life for himself. To conquer his speech impediment, he devised his own strange exercises. He would fill his mouth with pebbles and practice speaking. He rehearsed full speeches into the wind while running up steep inclines. Soon his quiet, weak voice erupted with booming, powerful clarity. Demosthenes locked himself away, literally, in the dugout that he had built in which to study and educate himself, to ensure he would not indulge in outside distractions. He shaved half his head so he'd be too embarrassed to go outside. And from that point forward, he dutifully descended each day into his study to work with his voice, his facial expressions, and his arguments. When he did venture out, it was to learn even more. Every moment, every conversation, every transaction was an opportunity for him to improve his art, and that is what he did. Every speech he ultimately delivered made him stronger. Every day that he stuck with it made him more determined. He could see through bullies and stare down fears by the time he became an adult. In struggling with his unfortunate fate, Demosthenes found his true calling. He would be the voice of Athens, its greatest speaker and conscience. He would be successful precisely because of what he had been through and how he had reacted to it. He had channeled his rage and pain into his training and later his speeches, fueling it all with a kind of fierceness and power that could be neither matched nor resisted. And on the story goes. That's the kind of determination it will take some of you. Go there. Embrace that kind of determination as you move into the new year.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the first portion of Chuck Swindoll's study in Philippians 3. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, if you're highly motivated, even determined, to make 2021 a meaningful new year of spiritual growth, we're pleased to offer several resources that'll help you. Insight for Living Ministries has set aside several books that'll become valued tools in your collection of Bible study resources. For instance, when you visit our online store, you'll find the Swindoll Study Bible. This represents the culmination of Chuck Swindoll's lifelong pursuit of biblical understanding, contained in one book and alongside the New Living Translation of the Bible. Each page includes insightful observations written in the straightforward style you've come to value. You can browse through the many different cover options by going to insight.org/store. Plus, when you're online, you'll discover that Chuck has just completed a brand new commentary on the Gospel according to Matthew. Coming up, he'll begin an exhaustive study through Matthew here on Insight for Living. And we recommend that you purchase Swindoll's Living Insights commentary for Matthew ahead of time. Because of its depth, the commentary comes in two hardbound volumes. To place your order, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/store. And then all of us at Insight for Living Ministries are praying that God would use men and women like you to provide generously at the year's end. The deadline for giving a final gift in 2020 is Thursday night at midnight. Chuck?
There's hardly a nation in the world that hasn't suffered from the complications of this coronavirus. The 2020 pandemic that spread like wildfire has become truly global. The insidious bug has crossed every border, broken every barrier humanity has placed in its way. In spiritual terms, COVID has spread like human sinful nature. Without prejudice, the disease has violated every continent on our globe. Just as sin courses through the veins of every man, every woman, every child in this world. Well, at Insight for Living Ministries, we're painfully aware of the collateral damage caused by the pandemic of man's sin, let alone the global suffering caused by the coronavirus. But in both cases, we know that God is neither surprised nor stymied. God is the answer. He's not the problem. And our greatest calling is to point our suffering world to the one who is able to save us. Remarkably, while churches and much of our economy were obstructed through 2020, Insight for Living never missed one day of Bible teaching, not one. In fact, our mission to reach all 195 countries of the world through Vision 195 moved ahead without hindrance. And if the compounding events of 2020 taught us anything, it's certainly true that our lives are fragile, our times are volatile, and our need for a Savior is urgent. So let me ask, won't you join me in giving generously to the mission of Insight for Living Ministries? Think about that question. By teaching God's Word, we will serve as a calming voice of stability. You can have a part in that. As we point people to the Savior in every corner of the world, you can do that with us. So let's do this together. Let's do this now, while there's still time, and people are hurting so deeply. Jesus said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us, for the night is coming when no one can work. Thanks for hearing me. I'm speaking today from my heart. I look forward to receiving your year-end gift, that generous gift you send, and send to us soon.
And here's how to connect. If you're listening in the United States and you prefer, you can call us. Just dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Once again, you can give your year-end donation by calling us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his message titled, Here's Something Worth Forgetting, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Here's Something Worth Forgetting, was copyrighted in 2019 and 2020, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.